So begins this holy week. We've waved our palm branches, we've shouted Hosanna, we've heard anew St. Mark's account of Jesus' blessed passion and precious death. And as we begin our remembrance and reenactment of these holy events in the life of Jesus, I'd like for us to pause for a moment to reflect again on these words from Paul's letter to the Philippians. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. These words, along with the next several verses from Philippians chapter 2, are often called the Christ hymn. And they're thought by some to be one of the earliest artifacts of Christian liturgy. What they offer is a concise yet breathtaking poetic commentary on the events of Holy Week and Easter. And they show us the cosmic and eternal significance of these events. C.S. Lewis once talked about the difference between our relationship to time and God's relationship to time in terms of a parade making its way through a town. You and I see and experience the parade as it passes us on the street. But God sees the parade all at once as if he were a man sitting high on a hill overlooking the town. In our scripture readings today and throughout this Holy Week, we get both perspectives. In our gospel readings, we see the story up close. We experience the drama as it's unfolding. But in readings like this one from Philippians, we see the whole drama of salvation all at once. So why does it matter that we see the story both up close and all at once? We need the drama of the up close because we need to remember the concrete humanity and reality of these events. The palm branches and the water basin, the bread and the wine, the thorns and the nails. But we also need to see the story all at once, because we need to remember whose story it is and what its deepest significance is. The story of Holy Week is not simply that of an influential teacher who drew the ire of an oppressive regime, though it is that. Neither is the story of Holy Week simply that of a Jewish prophet who challenged current religious understanding and drew the ire of religious leaders, though it is that as well. So what then is Holy Week really about? Each week as we confess our faith, we say a number of things about Jesus over which the bishops at the Council of Nicaea labored and contended for years. And they labored and contended not because they were interested in abstract metaphysics for its own sake. No, they did so because they felt it was necessary in order to articulate the story of Scripture faithfully. They were convinced that unless we believe that the one Lord Jesus Christ is the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, unless we believe that he is God from God, light from light, true God from true God, unless we believe that he is begotten, not made, of one being with the Father, we will miss the deepest significance of Holy Week, and we will miss the heart of the gospel. Now, my point is not that we all need to be able to explain every dense phrase of the creed. My point is that the creed, like Paul in Philippians hundreds of years before, wants us urgently to know that the one who was born of the Virgin Mary, who grew up in Nazareth, who rode into Jerusalem, who suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried, that one is none other than God himself. And that means that Holy Week is not merely of historical or inspirational interest. Holy Week is about God, and it's about you and me. According to Philippians 2, Paul tells us that without ceasing to be God, the eternal Son emptied himself of his manifest glory and the normal use of his divine attributes to take on a fully human existence. He descends from his heavenly throne at the behest of the Father. And Paul goes on to tell us that he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. So Jesus descends once when he leaves his heavenly throne to become a human being, and he descends yet again when he goes to the cross and to the grave. And Paul goes on to say that it's just because of this double descent of Jesus that he is exalted by the Father. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. In Israel's scriptures, the name that is above every name is the name of God revealed to Moses at the burning bush. The name is spelled with four Hebrew letters and is usually pronounced Yahweh, though ancient Israelites as well as modern Jews consider the name so sacred that they do not speak it aloud. The four-letter name is often rendered in English Bibles as the word Lord in all capital letters. Paul is saying in our passage today that the Father gave Jesus this name. Now, in one sense, the eternal Son has always shared this name with the Father, but here the Father confers it to him as the incarnate Jesus. And why? Because of his taking on human existence and his obedience to death on a cross. Don't miss this, dear friends. Do you see what this means? The Father's conferral of the divine name on Jesus means that taking on flesh and going to the cross is at the very heart of what it means for God to be God. And that means, friends, that God is for you. It means that the Creator became a creature for you. It means that the Almighty became weak for you. The Judge was judged for you. The Lord of life died for you. When we see the drama of Holy Week in its deepest significance, this is what we see. As we enter this Holy Week, I wonder what obstacle may stand in the way of your fully entering in, of your fully embracing the communion that Jesus made possible for you. Perhaps some distraction, some doubt, some worry, some sin. Whatever it is, bring it to him now and let it melt away in the fiery passion of his love. Enter fully into the drama of this Holy Week, knowing that it is animated at every turn by God's gift of himself for you in Christ Jesus. I want to close with an imaginative poem by the Welsh Anglican priest R.S. Thomas, which I think captures something of the heart of God we see revealed in Philippians and enacted in the coming days. And God held in his hand a small globe. "Look," he said. The sun looked. Far off, as through water, he saw a scorched land of fierce color. The light burned there. Crusted buildings cast their shadows. A bright serpent, a river uncoiled itself, radiant with slime. On a bare hill, a bare tree saddened the sky. Many people held out their thin arms to it, as though waiting for a vanished April to return to its crossed boughs. The sun watched them. "Let me go there," he said.